Merry Christmas. That'll wake you up, all right? And Rolf, I knew you were here because I could hear you singing, okay? Merry Christmas, and it's a blessed time to see all of you here. That song is anointed, I'll just say that. There's times I can't even say the words. It's that powerful. We're preaching on a thrill of hope, okay, just like we sang about. And hope, in the biblical sense, does not mean luck, like you're going to get lucky or something. Hope is something that is going to happen. And it's just a matter of when, okay? So tonight we're going to celebrate a thrill of hope, all right? Now, I got this on the internet, all right, from Jack Posobiec, and it talks about modern thinking. And this is what our culture thinks, right? You know, well, you probably have many friends who think this way. They believe that we're a clump of cells, and then we're born, and then we have a big life. This is the most important thing, is the life here. And then at death, they're not exactly sure what happens, okay? Now, Jack goes on to talk about medieval thinking, and I'm going to change this a little bit. This is the Middle Ages, or the Dark Ages, from 500 AD to 1500 AD. It's changed because of the scripture, being knit in your mother's womb, were fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what the scriptures say. Then the time on earth is short between birth and death. And then there's eternity in either heaven or hell. Now, I put this in here, Jesus, because during the Middle Ages, during the Dark Ages, the church was the key, and the church was salvation. Okay, salvation came through the church. But in 1517, Martin Luther came along and the other reformers, and Jesus Christ is our salvation. That's what the Word of God said. Amen? But if you look at these two, which way of thinking is more hopeful? Medieval. The Dark Ages, right? The Dark Ages. And we're supposed to be the enlightened ones now. But do you see why people are so depressed? Because when it's over, right? There's no hope. But tonight, we have a thrill of hope. Amen? This is why the world needs Jesus. And I believe many people are anti-Christian because they simply don't know who Jesus is. Okay? And what I love about this time of year is God makes it perfectly clear who Jesus is. And we're going to talk about that. He's a thrill of hope. Tonight's sermon is going to be a little different. I'm not going to go through verse by verse. I'm going to jump around just a little bit, okay? And it's going to be more of a teaching sermon. And some of the material you've had in basics, okay? So this is like a test or a refresher, okay? So we go to the... wrong way. Which way is more hopeful? Jesus is a thrill of hope, okay? Let me see if this is here. There she is. I even got the scriptures. You don't even have to open your Bibles, but don't quote me on that, okay? She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So what's in a name? There was a manager of a large office, and a new employee came in, and the manager said, "What's your name?" And the man replied, "My name's John." And the manager scolded him. He said, "Look, I don't know where you worked before, but I don't call anyone by their first name. It breeds familiarity, and that leads to a breakdown in authority. I refer to my employees by their last name only. Smith, Jones, Lopez. You got it? I am to be referred to as Mr. Robertson." Now that we've got that straightened out, what's your last name? And the guy said, "Darling. My name's John Darling." The manager shook his hand and said, "Nice to meet you, John." So what's in a name, right? We're going to talk about Jesus now. And some of this is going to be familiar to you. In the beginning, and this is revealed to us in the scriptures. I didn't make this up, okay? And you'll see it, and I'm going to quote some scriptures about it. In the beginning, there was God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God and three persons. All right? And you see it in the Old Testament and you see it in the New Testament. Three persons, one God. All right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I'm going to have Pastor Rolf explain that explicitly for us right now. That's a trick. It's a mystery. We can't explain God, right? And it's a good thing, because if we could explain God, that's not much of a God, right? He said it, we believe it. Three persons, one God. And this God, before there was anything, existed in a loving relationship. And then they created heaven and earth and the moon and the stars and the animals and the fish and the birds and everything, separated the water from the land. And after God created something, what did He say? It is good, right? And then He created humankind in His image, man and woman. And then what did He say? No, He said it is very good. I got you, Shirley. Okay. He said it is very good, right? So when God created us, He said it is very good. Amen. Was that good enough for us? We used to walk through that. Adam and Eve would walk through the garden with God. How cool would that be to walk through a garden with God right there? Was that good enough for them? No. They said, we want to be in charge. We want to be our own gods. We don't need you. All right? And that was sin. And when sin entered the world, it separated us from God. You could put a dividing line there. We're separated from God. Now, how do we get back to God? How can we restore that relationship? There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do to restore the relationship. Okay? By the way, I'm going to move on and I'm going to come back to the drawings, but people say the Christmas tree is a pagan symbol. It's a Christian symbol that was started by the church, and they would put evergreens up. But what would they decorate it with? Apples, to represent the fall that I'm just talking about, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit. It's not a pagan symbol, okay? That's what our culture tries to say. Don't listen to what the culture says, amen? And I'm going to talk more about that. Now, this is out of Genesis chapter 1, okay? Remember, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God said, let us, and this is an amplified version, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but let us, it's plural, make man in our image, it's plural, according to our likeness, not physical but a spiritual personality and moral likeness, and let them have a complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, over the entire earth, over everything that creeps and crawls in the earth. So God created man in His own image, in the image and likeness of God He created him, male and female, He created them. Okay? But this is the main thing. It's plural. It's not singular. Yes, there's one God, but God is already pointing to the Trinity in the first chapter of the Bible. Next one, regarding Jesus, okay? Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one snatched them out of my hand. My Father who has given to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. He's talking about the Trinity that I showed you from the beginning. He's saying, I am God. And we see that here later. We are not stoning you for good work, any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. And it would be blasphemy, except He is God. Amen? We go to the name Jesus, all right? This name, Jesus, in Hebrew is Joshua, meant Yahweh saves, Yahweh brings salvation, or Yahweh is Savior. But what is Jesus saving us from? Sin. That's what the Scripture says, right? He's saving us from sin. Sin in the Scripture means to miss the mark. So what is the mark? The mark is God's law, which points out God's intention for how we should live our lives. It defines how our Creator wants us to live in order to have a full life and the best life in and with Him, like in the beginning, okay? He wants to restore that relationship with Him. It's about that relationship. See, Philip Green writes, "So Jesus came to save Mary and us from our sins, not just from the penalty of our sins, hell, but also from the power of sin in our lives. You see, worse than the tyranny of any dictator or any foreign power is the tyranny of sin. Sin destroys nation. Sin destroys families." Have we seen that? Sin destroys families, right? "Sin destroys relationships. Sin destroys all of us from within, and we need deliverance from that more than anything else. That's why Jesus came. He came to die on a cross for our sins, then to conquer death itself and rise from the grave. All we need to do is trust Him." But what does our culture say? We're all basically good, and sin is just false guilt that Christianity or religion imposes on people. But if we look at all the evil in the world, and there's a lot of it, right? We have to confess that sin is humankind's greatest problem. We have over 7 billion people primarily living for themselves, and what is the result? Look at the front page of the newspaper, right? That's the result. Okay. Friends, when we confess we are sinners and we don't have it made, then we can accept Christ and receive His forgiveness. This is why He came, to save us from our sins. He came to save us from our sins. Spurgeon writes, "But no, the word of the Lord tells us, 'You shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins.' And this is for all time, since He always has a people, and these people always need to be saved from their sins. Let us be glad that we have such a Savior, and that the name of Jesus retains all the sweetness and power it ever had, and shall retain it till all the chosen people are saved, and then forever and ever. As Martin Luther says, 'He never gave Himself for our righteousness, but He did give Himself for our sin.' Sin is a horrible evil with deadly poison, yet it is this which gives Jesus His title when He overcomes it. What a wonder to think upon. The first thing between my soul and Christ is not my goodness, but my badness. Not my merit, but my misery. Not my standing, but my falling. Not my riches, but my need. He comes to visit His people, yet not to admire their beauties, but to remove their deformities. Not to reward their virtues, but to forgive their sins." So can we live without Christ and please God? He knew we had this problem. Do you see the love of God? You see the love of God? And I got this picture. Pastor, we need to work this in somewhere in the church, okay? I love this picture. And there's a syringe in the guy's arm. Jesus loves this guy now. 20 years from now, I may be a pastor. This is the guy Jesus loves. It's the guy who doesn't have it made. The guy who doesn't. That's why He came, right? Jesus came to save sinners. A thrill of hope. Amen? This is how the birth of the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. We go back to the drawings, okay? Here's the Trinity, right? And now there's nothing we can do to restore our relationship. But God, in His great love for us, sends the eternal Son. The eternal Son leaves heaven, right? Where He's worshipped and glorified. He leaves that and comes to earth in the person of Jesus. He's born in a stable. Have you ever smelled a stable? God came down into the filth to save us. Can I have a wow? And his mother was Mary. And who was his father? God. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. This is so important because it changes everything. If his father did not conceive him, it wouldn't mean anything. Christmas wouldn't mean anything, okay? But God took care of it and he sent his son Jesus, who's truly God and truly man, all right? Do I hear a Merry Christmas? That's Christmas, okay? So what does the world say about that today? They say it's a myth or a fairy tale. After all, we all know it takes a man and a woman to make a baby, right? The real myth or misunderstanding is to think that God, who created absolutely everything, cannot impregnate a woman with a thought, just a thought, or a word. What's really foolish, right? The God who created the stars and the earth and everything can't have a virgin conceive? Regarding Jesus, Spurgeon goes on to say, he was no subordinate deity or was elevated to the Godhead, as some have absurdly said. All these things are dreams and falsehood. He was as surely God as God can be, one with the Father and ever blessed Spirit. If it were not so, not only would the great strength of our hope be gone, but as to this text, the sweetness would be evaporated altogether. The very essence and glory of the Incarnation is that he was God who was veiled in human flesh. If it were any other being who thus came to us in human flesh, I see nothing very remarkable in it, certainly nothing comforting. But God with us is exquisite delight. God with us! All that God means, the deity, the infinite Jehovah with us. Do you know Christians who don't believe in the virgin birth? They call themselves Christians, right? My last year of cemetery, I met a lot of them. Most of them were doctors of the church. They didn't believe in the virgin birth. If Jesus was not truly God, we're still in our sins, brothers and sisters, right? So if somebody says they don't believe in the virgin birth, they don't really believe in Jesus because they don't believe he's God. Make no mistake, Jesus is God. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and is truly God. Which means Jesus was born without sin because he's God, right? And that's very important, right? But not only that, then he lived 33 years without sinning. I can't go 33 seconds without sinning. 33 years without sinning. Can any of us here go a day without sinning? No. It's because he's truly God and truly man. And that had to be because he had to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He wouldn't be a sacrifice for our sins if he had one blemish, one bad thought. So it uniquely qualified him to be the sacrifice for our sins and the sins of the world. And you'll say, how can him dying on the cross save us? Can the death of one man pay for the sins for all people from all time? From way back all the way to the future to the end of time, the death of any man, it'd have to be God. And he was. He was truly God. If you're going to pay for that many sins, right? He had to be divine. So we cannot deny the virgin birth, okay? It is the blood of Jesus, the blood of God, that paid for our sins. Think of that. The blood of God paid for your sins and my sins. Wow. Merry Christmas, right? What a Christmas gift. Recently I heard that we generally do not celebrate the birthdays of dead people, but only the birthdays of living people. But brothers and sisters, we know Jesus is alive, right? Happy birthday, Jesus. All right? Because Jesus arose from the grave and ascended to the right hand of the Father, Christ is risen. See, I can even throw Easter in here, okay? and happy birthday, Jesus. And though the world wants to deny it, and I tell you, we live in an anti-Christian culture, they can't because Jesus divides time, right? Pastor talked about this. What's B.C. stand for? Before Christ. And A.D. stands for Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. And the earliest text says the year of our Lord, not the year of the Lord, because He is Lord of all, right? And they try to rename it. So they say BCE, which means before the common era. In AD, they changed to CE, which is the common era. And thanks be to God, it hasn't taken root, okay? But why did they do that? Because BC and AD sound too religious. They can call it whatever they want. We divide the calendar on the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, right? Amen. Would we cut our calendar in half with the birth of a simple man? No. He's truly God. He's truly God. And they can call it whatever they want. But the birth of Jesus separates time. Let's see. I'm running way behind here, okay? I'm getting too excited. It's Christmas. All right. Would we change the calendar? No. All right. Then I have a picture here. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. Some religions say that God the Father had sex with Mary. This is not like Greek and Roman theology, okay? Like I said, just with a thought, the Lord could do something like that, okay? A thrill of hope. Amen? We go on to, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So, Jesus dies for our sins, and He rises from the dead in order to restore us into a relationship with God. Now, through faith in Christ, Christ lives in us, which also means we have the Father and the Son, right? Because the Godhead's not going to be separated, right? They're one. Think of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwelling in Rick. And you guys are saying, wow, God is crazy dwelling in Rick. And I'll say, yes, He is. But He loves us. That He wants to live in us. He wants to live in us. Now through faith, Christ lives in us, which also means we have the Father and the Holy Spirit. Emmanuel, God with us. And it should actually be God in us. Let me have a wow, okay? Wow. And we see say this all the time. It's not about religion, but it's all about relationship. And about this relationship with Christ, is there anything or anyone worth trading for this relationship with Jesus Christ? Drugs, alcohol, money, sex, you name it, okay? Is it worth trading Jesus for that and eternity for that? No. God puts on flesh in the person of Jesus to save us from our sins and restore us back into a relationship with God. This is what Christmas is about. Hallelujah. Through Jesus' birth, death, resurrection, and ascension, our relationship with God is restored and we are now children of God. Hallelujah and Merry Christmas. Okay. Spurgeon writes, by the Holy Spirit, the divine seed which lives and abides forever is sown in our souls. And from day to day we are strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Nor is this all, for as the masterpiece of grace, the Lord by His Spirit even dwells in His people. God is not incarnate in us as in Christ Jesus. But only second in wonder to the incarnation is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in believers. Now is it God with us indeed, for God dwells in us. Know you not, says the Apostle, that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit? As it is written, I will dwell in them and I will walk in them. Oh, the heights and depths that are comprehended in those few words, God with us. Friends, whatever we are going through right now, remember, God is in control. And He has a plan for us. A good and perfect plan. God goes before us and He's behind us. He is with us. He is in us. Always. And nothing can separate us from His love. And that's a thrill of hope. Amen? This is not your typical Christmas sermon, you see. It's like a Bible study, all right? When Joseph woke, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now Joseph, who accepted God's will, is overjoyed. The questioning of Mary's conception of Jesus is forgotten when he doubted her. The embarrassment and hurt people caused is forgotten. The couple's pain and disappointment replaced with joy as they hear from the shepherds sent to them by angels to worship Jesus the Messiah, and later by the three wise men offering gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What an affirmation of their trust in God, right? And doesn't that happen to us after a time of trial and disappointment? Suddenly things turn around, God blesses us, and we can see and understand His plan and purpose, right? But it's not until afterwards. Sometimes it's so dark we can't see anything. But then later we can see and we can understand. I love this picture, okay? You can just see in Joseph and Mary both the understanding of God's plan, okay? Yes, dear. Okay. In her book, The Fire of Your Life by Maggie Ross, she writes about a Holocaust survivor who went in front of a Manhattan church at 4 o'clock every day. And the woman would scream insults at Jesus Christ. So one day, Bishop Meyer went outside and said, "Well, why don't you go inside and tell him?" So Emma goes inside the church. And she's there for over an hour, so the bishop's kind of wondering what happened. And he goes in, and she's laying prostrate before the cross. And he goes and he touches her, and she looks up, and she's weeping. And she says, "After all, he was a Jew too." Closes by saying, Emma, who blamed Jesus for all her problems, came to realize that He was her Messiah, her anointed one, her king. After all, He was a descendant of Abraham like she was, and He suffered on the cross as much or more than she did in the Holocaust. See, she accepted Jesus as her king and found peace. Brothers and sisters, this Christmas, this is a very special Christmas, okay? Because the world is, if we just look at the news, the world is not in great shape, okay? And you can be depressed. And with the epidemic and all the garbage, Merry Christmas, okay? Because Christ came for that, right? Christ came for that. So no, we can find peace as well as Emma did if we will relinquish control of our lives and give it to Jesus. Please stop fighting what Jesus wants to do in your life and just submit to Him. Receive Jesus as your rightful King. And I'm going to share with you, every once in a while I get a word from the Lord. And sometimes it's a, and you're going, oh wow, He's one of those, okay. But anyway, sometimes it's audible and other times it's not. Well, this year it wasn't audible, but the Lord told me over and over again, submit. Submit. So that's my word for 2022. I'm going to submit every day to Jesus Christ. Every situation. Submit to Him. Is that easy? Heck no. Pastors like to be large and in charge, right? But isn't that what it's about? The Son of God comes to earth in flesh and blood to save us and die on a cross. And He asks us to submit. Just like in the beginning, God had a good plan. But we wanted to be in control, right? And brothers and sisters, how does it work when we're in control? Not good, right? Submit. So friends, no matter where we are during this Christmas season, and believe me, I know there's many of you going through darkness, okay? There's a lot of disappointment. But there's also light and thankfulness. Tonight, Christ is born. Our sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. We are restored to God, our Heavenly Father. He's with us and in us. And God Emmanuel is with us and in us tonight. Tonight we are loved and we are victors. Amen?
Amen.
So no matter what we're going through, Christ is born. Amen?
Amen.
It's a thrill of hope. This Christmas, find the hope that can only be found in Jesus. It can only be found in Him. And that's why we're here, right? Because Christ is born. So let's pray, all right? Lord Jesus, we know that You are here. You're alive. Happy birthday, Lord. This night, we accept You as our Savior with the blood that You poured out on the cross for us to forgive us our sins. But we accept You as Lord of our lives, Lord. Send Your Spirit and help us to submit, because it is so hard for us to submit, Lord. Help us to give control to You in all things. We love You, Lord Jesus, because You first loved us, demonstrated in the manger and the cross. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. In Your name we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas.